Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick. No Jeff Loggeman, at least early in the show. He's part of the Meet Me at the 50 festivities tonight. And Tony Baselli missing in action. John Gruden said he saw him. But we are still awaiting the arrival of the pride of the Jaguars.
Well, you know, there's food all over the building in various parts.
You can't walk through this office tonight without smelling food. I mean, there's wings, there's pizza, there's all the food up on the second level at the Meet Me at the 50. I had three cupcakes up there earlier when I was walking around.
There he is.
It was fantastic. So what a night it is here at Everbank Field. Meet Me at the 50, always a huge event, and even bigger this year than in years past, and even smaller than in years past as he sits in now is Tony Baselli, who joins us here on Jaguars Thursday.
Oh, sorry about that.
Good evening.
I got stuck eating a slice of pizza.
That's what we were talking about. There's food all over this place.
Yeah,
today,
I know.
I need to have this a bit more often.
I gave in.
Did you? You caved.
I gave in just one slice.
You caved.
I did.
Well, I had some wings and some pizza and a cupcake or two upstairs.
Oh, no cupcakes for me.
Well, I had your fair share too. What's up, man?
Good cupcakes?
Yeah, really nice, actually.
I forgot Jeff's at Meet Me with the 50, correct?
Yeah, he just rolled out of here, and they had John Gruden on in here for the last segment of the Gus Bradley Show,
which was cool.
And yeah. So, yeah, check it out. The archive will be on Jaguars.com coming up. What's up, Bo? What do you got, man?
Another day in paradise.
Yeah. Week 6, the Jags and the Bears, only for the, sixth time ever? Seventh time ever coming up.
Played them 3 times when I was here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the last regular season meeting was 2012 when the Bears came in here and just destroyed the Jags.
God, I don't even remember that game.
Yeah, it was like 41-6 or something.
Really?
Yeah. It was close. It was like 6-3 at halftime. They had like an interception or something right before half, and then they just rolled us in the second half.
Were you here?
I was here. It was my first year, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It was, in fact, I had some family in town for that game, yeah.
I must have blocked it out.
Yeah. There's a lot of games we've blocked out over the last few years. Tony, I got news for you.
I think it's going to be different this week.
You think so?
Different teams completely.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it for the next hour. Watching the tape, I just got done watching the tape of the Bears against the Colts. They're a solid team. They're well coached. Nothing that scares you on either side of the ball.
Yeah,
I think we're more talented. I think we're better, but you have to go execute. You have to go play. I mean, they're obviously it's an NFL team, so they can beat you. I mean, there's no cakewalks typically in this league at all. But if you're measuring the two teams, I mean, the Jaguars are a better football team. They're more talented. They should win this game. Now it's on the road, so that's gonna be more difficult. But this is a group that should be confident going into this game that if we execute, play our game plan, play our style of football. You should have a lot of success on both sides of the ball.
Let's start with the offense then. Patrick Omame is going to play left guard, it sounds like. And he's a guy who's been around. He's been around the league. He has a lot of starts in the league over the last few years. And he filled in and played well in kind of a pinch last week when Jokel went down, and he's done for the year. So Omame is going to be the guy, at least for this week, and see how it goes from there, it sounds like.
And listen, I thought he played well. When he had to come in there for the game against the Colts in London after the injury to Luke Jokel, he stepped right in, and not the easiest thing to do after you've been sitting on the bench that long. But when he went in there, he played well. He's a physical guy. He's a good size, 6'4", 315. He has power. He's a better run blocker than pass blocker, but he's an adequate pass blocker. And who they're playing, the style that this Bears team likes to play, they are big physical guys. They have big bodies on that front line. Akeem Hicks is a you know, six. He's a monster of a man, 6'5". They list him at 335. Yeah. He's every bit of that. You know, Willie Young's a big defensive end. Mitch Uring, the defensive tackle, another big guy. Will Sutton. I mean, they got large human beings that are going to be physical in there, and so that's a good matchup for Patrick Omame. That he's a physical style player.
You know, staying on the offensive line against that defensive front for the Bears, we heard a couple weeks ago that they've kind of gone away from the gap power blocking scheme a little bit, and it was the outside zone and running wide a lot.
That's what we talked about in the preseason.
Yeah, and then that's kind of come back. Last week it was more kind of the gap power double team blocking. Is that accurate? I'm kind of reaching here a little bit. You're looking at me like I'm from Mars. I've never played, and you know the technical aspect.
Yeah,
of that.
Keep on going. I like
what
you
Greg
reaching.
Olson was talking about it today, offensive coordinator, that maybe they move back to a little more of the power game.
There are more inside the tackles than outside the tackles. How about that?
Why did I just say that?
They had. I don't think they ran any more power, which is your gap principle. It's a power play.
Yeah.
Than they had early, but what they ran a lot more of. It's basically a scheme where you're going to block the defensive end with the tight end. You're going to get two double teams with one of the guard and tackles and the center and other guard and the other tackles in the base. And it's a downhill run, single back run between the tackles. Go, yeah. Read the double teams, get up in there and get what you can. And they ran it well. They still ran a little bit of outside zone, which is stretch, but much less than they had leading up into the Colts game. And when something works, you're going to stick with it. I think watching our offensive line play, I think they're more confident doing that. They're more confident in that style for whatever reason.
Yeah. So I guess at what point did why wasn't it figured out earlier that they were more comfortable?
Well, you got to remember back in the preseason, they ran that outside stretch very well. It's a play they worked on all offseason, something they liked. They thought it was going to be a good play for them. It showed itself to work very well during the preseason. And so you build off what you do in the preseason, what you see in practice, what you see in those games. And they came out and they tried to get it going, and they never did. And, that's good. You know, good coaching is not saying, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, gosh darn it, this is what we worked on. We're going to do this. It's not working. So let's look at it. Let's talk about what we have. We have this in the game plan. We have this downhill getting double teams at a couple spots. We have it in our playbook. Let's get more focused on that. This is not working. We got to change it up. I mean, it happens all the time. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you get paid to do as a coach, change your game plan, change your scheme. Look at it and see if it's something that fits your personnel, or at least they run better. And I think it does, especially with the backs.
That was my next question. The strength of the backs, Yeldon and Ivory, is it more suited towards that type of style?
Well, Yeldon is a glider. I think he can run stretch. Mm-hmm. I don't think and so I think he's fine at doing that. I think Ivory is a power back. He's better between the tackles. If you watch what he did at New York, not that they didn't run some outside zone, but they were a downhill power football. He's a powerful human being, breaking tackles, running through.
Yeah.
He's very effective that, you know, he can be that battering ram if you need him to be. So I think it fits more with Ivory. But more importantly, you know, what is it up front? I mean, up front, let's get these guys, because we had no success those first three games. So let's get those guys going and doing something they're comfortable with, and let's try it. It worked. And so I expect to see a lot more of it.
And that helps Blake Bortles. If you get that run game going, well, boy, listen, it takes a little bit of the pressure off. If he has the same type of game that he had last week, manage it, run the ball, don't turn it over. Right now, that might be an ideal play for this offense, right?
Well, I think I'd like to see more. I mean, I think.
Well, you want to see him downfield.
Not just that. I think he can play better. I think there's still improve his decision making. And but what he did last week or 2 weeks ago now in against the Colts in London. I thought he played with more freedom in the sense of not – I thought, and I said it beforehand, he mentioned it during the bye week that he was pressing, that, you know, he's a guy who needs to have fun out there. And when I say that, not that, you know, what does that mean? Well, he is a type of individual, and the way he plays is to play on the edge a little bit and, you know, if it's not there, use his legs, moving around – that's just his style. And I think what I saw as the, you know, from week one, they lost that tight game. Then you go into San Diego, it falls apart. And then especially you get into Baltimore, I saw him pressing a lot and trying to force things and trying to win the game himself. Instead of just playing within the system, playing, take what the defense gives you, use your gifts and the talents that you have as far as being a mobile guy and extending plays, but just let it come to you. Don't try so hard. You know, it's funny. As an athlete, it's a fine line. You know, everyone says, well, you need to try harder and go harder. Sometimes you can try too hard, meaning you start pressing and you're trying to force things and you want it so bad that you start going outside the aspect of the play and what you're good at and trying to make things happen. Instead of saying, all right, here's our game plan. I got 10 other guys around me. Let's get the run game going a little bit. Let me trust these guys and let the game. And if it doesn't work early or if something, you know, sometimes punting, you got to punt the ball. Punt it away and let's go. We'll get it back going. And I saw that in Indy from the whole group, and I think a lot of that's driven by Blake because how your quarterback goes so often is how your offense goes. I mean, he's the leader of the team, and especially the offense. And yeah, if that guy's pressing, I think everyone else feels that a little bit.
But that's his personality. Like, he wants to be the guy that carries his team.
And you can be, but just let it come. Don't force things that aren't there. Especially when you're a young player, you start forcing things, you start trying to see things and manufacture things that the defense isn't giving you, that it's maybe not the play design. And what it does is, like anything in life, it starts snowballing on you. You know, so you're pressed in and you're trying and you're doing this and it goes bad early. Well, now I got to go, you know, harder. I mean, you know, I got to do it. And you keep on pressing and going down that path and it snowballs, snowballs, snowballs. Now you all of a sudden you're all tied up in your head and you're mentally just shot because you got so much stuff going on. It's not going well. You're behind and it's not, and you're the reason that you're behind and you've done this and now I got to do something else. And it just keeps on snowballing. And that's what I saw out of Blake. But coming out of that San Diego game into the Baltimore, that's what I think he did. And I like what I saw out of Indy. He can still be much better. I know he wants to be better, but it was one of the first games in a while, at least the first three out of the first one out of the first four games that he didn't make that throw. And though even though it wasn't intercepted, you're like, whew, we are fortunate that wasn't intercepted because that hit the guy in the hands.
Yeah.
Never had one of those.
No, there was nothing close to that. So there were a couple of reads where he could have had some big plays.
Sure, he missed some things. He made some throws that weren't great. That happens, and you hope that it can happen less. But overall, I mean, especially the way the defense is playing. The defense can continue. Now, they got to clean up some busts, and we'll get to that side of the ball after the break. But offensively, the run game gets going. You have playmakers. I would like to see them stretch the field a little bit more with Allen Robinson. I think that's something that was very effective last year. I don't think they're doing it enough. I still think you can get Mark Easley out there if you get the right matchup and stretch the field with him. Take some shots down the field. I think we need to get a little bit more vertical. That was a lot of the success that we had last year. But within the flow of the game, again, you don't want to force that.
It'll come. It's early. Four games in. Well, we're a quarter of the way in now.
It's early, but it's not that early. Now, this is, you know, every team, every coach breaks it down into quarters. So you're through the first quarter. You're 1-3. I believe the goal of this team should be to go 3-1 in the second quarter. And if you can find yourself at 4-4 at the halfway point, the entire division is yours. Every goal you have is yours. You can really, at that point, you control everything that's in front of you.
Calling all Jacksonville runners, the Stash Dash is coming up Saturday night.
Does that include JP?
Saturday. No, does it include Tony?
I'll be in Chicago, JP.
Oh. Well, it does not include JP.
I would run it if it was a home game.
Well, you're not.
I can't. I'm working.
You can't, so you're not.
And why aren't you?
Who says I'm not?
You just did.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm not. I got stuff going on that day.
Like what?
Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jaguars-Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. Jaguars defense. When we come back, it's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. J. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
At the end of the day, this is what I signed up for. And I feel like knowing all three positions gives me a kind of like a whole perspective of the defense that allows me to really see where everybody's at and kind of feel the space in and things like that. So I think it's very beneficial. It's just me. It comes down to me applying myself. I think that's the biggest thing.
That's Miles Jack, Jaguars linebacker. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, thanks for joining us. I'm wearing Log's glasses. How do these look?
Why are you wearing his glasses?
I don't know. All his stuff was sitting here from the Gus Bradley show because he had to bug out pretty quick, I think.
But why did you put his glasses on?
I don't know,
on?
Just because. Because I can't. I can't see a damn thing through these things. Look.
You look like Mr. Magoo.
He's blind as a bat, by the way.
You look like Mr. Magoo.
I might be a little young for that. That's okay.
Well,
you're getting old, Tony.
You got the hairline.
Oh, I got the hairline now. I'll give you that.
Glasses.
I probably need glasses. Actually, I think I'm required by state law to wear glasses in the car. So there's one of those.
That's great.
But not these. Jaguars Thursday continue. You heard from Miles Jack there. It sounds like we're going to see some more of Miles Jack this Sunday at the Auto Spot. And from what you saw of him playing in the game in London, what is the biggest weakness of that game right now for him at the Auto Spot?
I think just recognition and understanding what teams are trying to do. I mean, nothing physically. I mean, my goodness, he makes them so much more athletic when he's on the field. I mean, his athletic ability is why was one of the most coveted guys outside that knee injury that people were concerned about in the draft. And he is great in space, really fast, closes, good tackler. It's recognition. It's understanding exactly what the offense is trying to do. And he had a couple busts in that Indy game that led to one real big run. That 17-yarder was directly on him. He got caught looking inside, went too far down the line of scrimmage. He's supposed to be backside support. If he does his job, it's a one-yard gain. I mean, there's nothing there.
Right.
And so that's what he needs to work on.
That'll come. He had 1 week to learn the position, right?
He's a young player.
Yeah.
Those things happen when you play rookies, and he's got to learn from it, and I believe he will. But they're better, in my opinion. I've been saying it since training camp. I would play him at auto. You need your best 11 on the field, and he's one of your best 11 players, and you're better with him, Puz, and Telvin on the field at linebacker when you're in your base personnel.
It's a pretty good trio. I'll take that trio. The way the other two are playing right now, no doubt.
Well, one of the reasons, and everyone asks, is why is he not on the field? Early, he wasn't on the field because they're playing nickel, and Puz and Telvin are playing at such a high level, you're not going to take them off the field. I mean, just because you drafted him high and he is very talented, that doesn't mean you just give him a position. He's got to win that. I mean, that's what competition's about. And the way Puz was playing and has continued to play, you want him on the field. You're better with him. You're better with Telvin. And now you're better with him with Miles when you're at the auto. Now, what gets you excited is the future. Because as you look at this defense and guys like Miles Jack, and all of a sudden there's going to be a day as Puz gets older and he moves on to whatever his next career life is. Hopefully it's not for a while. But Puz and Miles in there make you really athletic and really fast at the linebacker spot.
Talk about Telvin and
who'd I say?
You said Puz.
Puz, yeah, Telvin. Puz Telvin, will be gone. Yeah, Telvin and Miles. Sorry.
And then, there's another year or two of drafting after that, too. Who knows who else comes in the fold also. Now, who else is back in the fold this week? Aaron Colvin is off his suspension now. And Dwayne Gratz was let go to put him, make him active on the roster. By the way, Gratz, signed by the Rams, he's getting to go to London a second time. In a couple of weeks, by the way. How about that?
He can tell them all the hot spots.
I guess he can. But Aaron Colvin seems ready to roll. Obviously, he's going to be ready to go, but just hearing him talk and seeing how he looks in great shape and has talked the talk so far. And at least on the practice field, Gus Bradley said that he's shown that he's been paying attention while he's been gone, too, watching he can't watch film, but watching the game tape and knowing getting back in the defense after being gone for 4 weeks, it's shown up a little bit on the practice field already.
Well, what you're always worried about when a guy's away from the facility because of a suspension for 4 weeks is what is his physical conditioning like? Because you hope it doesn't happen, but sometimes guys you know, spend a little bit too much time on the couch and not enough time in the weight room or running. And
the J.P. Shadrick diet.
Yes. You don't want the J.P. Shadrick, which is couch, club, and food.
Club. I don't go to clubs.
Okay, bar.
I go to bars.
Whatever. You get the point. And from the looks of it, Aaron Colvin didn't do that. He looks like he's in shape. His body looks good. From the reports we're getting from practice and what Gus has said, that he was a pro. He made a mistake. He owned it. Don't compound that mistake by not taking care of yourself for 4 weeks when you're gone. And from the looks of it, the true test will be Sunday afternoon. But from the looks of it so far, Aaron took care of himself.
That's another score for the Jags over the last few years, because before that knee injury, many felt he was a first-round talent in that draft. And after the knee injury in Mobile, of course, he fell down to the lower rounds. But all of a sudden, you got a guy like him who's around, Jalen Ramsey, first-round pick, Miles Jack, who would have been a first-round pick, Dante Fowler was a first-round. A lot of first-round picks all of a sudden showing up on this roster.
Well, forget about where they're picked, how they're playing, because guy you haven't mentioned who's playing at an extremely high level for a young guy is Yannick Ngakoue.
Ngakoue, third-rounder, right.
He's playing very well, and he is one of those guys that brings speed and intensity and flying around and athletic ability and everything else to the field. And I was concerned going in that your nickel pass rusher is going to be Dante on one side and Yannick at the other side, because not because they're not talented, but because they're young. And I worry about young pass rushers understanding what it means to rush at this level. With that said, Yannick is way more polished for a young guy than most rookie pass rushers. He has good hand use, good understanding of what he's trying to do. And it's translated because he's fast, he's quick, he has sneaky power, and it's led to, what is it, 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles,
yeah.
Interception.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad.
Leads the team in sacks right now, which is pretty remarkable, certainly for not the guy you would have thought a few weeks in to lead the team in sacks from that position. Now, let's continue on the defensive line.
And a great opportunity this week for him Dante against the right tackle for the Bears. Bobby Massey is not very good.
What's the story?
He's an okay run blocker. He is not great against especially the outside pass rush. He is very derelict in his duties as when it comes to how he sets, pass sets.
Deep vocabulary, Tony.
Yes, he gives up the edge easily. And I hope Todd Walsh, the defensive lineman coach, is telling Dante Fowler, because that's where Dante rushes primarily, speed rush, just go. For the first 4 or 5 rushes, just go and run around him, because you will run around him. And then you'll get him to start bailing, and then it's whatever you want. He should have a nice day. If the Jaguars can win on first and second down, and the Bears have a nice, not a great backfield, but a kid named Jordan Howard, a rookie out of Indiana, had a good game against the Colts. He's a patient, good vision runner. They run the zone scheme very well. They have a big offensive line. They're led by Kyle Long, the right guard. Big Josh Sitton, all-pro left guard. Those two guys are good inside. They got a rookie, Cody Whitehair, out of Kansas State at center. But interiorly, they do a nice job. So you got to win on first down. If you can win on first down, get in those second and long, third and long situations, Dante Fowler and Yannick should have good days. But especially Dante going against Bobby Massey, I expect him to win that one-on-one matchup.
Let me ask you this. Jared Audrick or Tyson Alualu?
If I'm just looking at the film, it's a coin flip.
Somebody's got to sit, right? Somebody's got to be inactive. This is a tough week to put it in actives down, because there's a lot of healthy guys in this team now.
Yeah, when everyone's healthy, it is tough. I thought Tyson played very well against Indianapolis. You know, Jared Audrick probably gives you a little bit more pass rush on third down. With that said, how much are you going to use him on third down? You're going to have Malik Jackson in there. I'd like to see Sheldon Day get more reps on third down at that nickel. You have obviously Sendarek Marks. So are you going to use Jared at third down as a defensive tackle? Not sure. But on first and second down, Tyson played really hard. And it's hard.
He had a sack, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And to me, there's a premium on that. I think J- Jared Odrick is a talented guy. He's a lot of ability. But to me, sometimes I'm not saying it's a loaf, but it just looks like there's not the urgency sometimes that I see out of Tyson. Jared might be a little bit more talented, but that I love the passion that Tyson plays with. So that's a tough decision. I don't know who I would right now because I haven't watched how they practice. Jared coming back off the tricep. If Jared's not 100%, I for sure start Tyson. If Jared's 100%, that's a tough decision that Todd Wash and Gus Bradley are going to have to talk about which way they go.
But
at that point, it comes a gut feeling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who is the better matchup maybe or whatever it is.
That's right.
At that point. We'll come back and what the heck's going on with Brian Hoyer? We'll break down his play so far.
He's lighting up right now.
He sure is.
Lighting it up.
And he has a mixed history against the Jaguars as well. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more info. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I personally am not going to get, you know, overly excited about getting our first win. You know, we got to continue.
That's Julius Thomas, the Jaguars.
Great sound there.
Yeah, that didn't really work out.
That was outstanding, JP.
Well, he said basically he was
great drop in.
He's not worried about getting the first win. He's worried about what's down the road for this team. To paraphrase.
That's great, JP. Can we get someone else in charge of sound, please?
We'll work on that.
Can Hollywood come in here and do this for us?
Jaguars Thursday continues. We're on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app as well. Brian Hoyer, 2014 with Cleveland against the Jaguars, had 215 yards passing, an interception. The Jags won that game here at Everbank. Twice he played against the Jags with the Houston Texans last year and won both games. Three touchdowns the first game. Touchdown and interception the second meeting, but got a W. This season, he hasn't thrown an interception. Six touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, and three starts, plus some of the first game. Cutler's got a thumb injury. The question moving forward is who's the guy at quarterback in Chicago, but this week it's going to be Hoyer, and he's on fire right now, Tony.
Yeah, I don't care who the guy's going to be because it doesn't affect us at all.
That's right.
And we can leave that to the Sports Talk Radio shows in Chicago. Brian Hoyer is completing at a clip of 71.4% right now.
It's incredible.
Has 7.8 yards per attempt. That's nice. Six touchdowns, zero interceptions. Quarterback rating of a 108.5. Only been sacked three times. So he does a good job of moving around and getting rid of the ball. I like it that he has good numbers right now.
Why?
Because he's Brian Hoyer. He's going to come back and be – it's all going to even out over the year. He's not a 108 quarterback rating guy. It's not who he is.
Well, he's never been that.
So you look at a guy's career, so listen, he's due. He's due for a stinker. Let's get it done this week. And so you hope it's this week. But, you know, on the serious side, he is – he's a guy who's – if he's your quarterback, he teases you. Because, man, there's times, and you watch that Colts tape, and man, some good throws, and you've watched them. You watch them at times with Houston. And I remember a couple years ago with Cleveland, you watch, it's like, this guy can be our franchise quarterback.
We've had our fair share of those around here, too.
And so all of a sudden, and then you're like, wait a second. It's, you know, what happened to the Brian Hoyer that, you know, was teasing us and lighting it up? You know, so he's a Jekyll and Hyde type of quarterback. Hopefully you get Hyde this week because he's been Jekyll, but doing real well and playing at a high level or vice versa, whatever the – however it works. But he's playing good football, smart with it, not turning it over right now. And he's – we were talking about Blake earlier, how Blake we thought was better in the Indy game. He let the game come to him, didn't force it.
Mm-hmm.
And when Brian Hoyer is playing good football, he is a patient guy. He'll let the game come to him. He'll take the right read. He'll check it down if he needs to. Not going to force a lot of stuff. And you haven't seen that at all on tape so far. But if you pressure him, like any guy, he's going to get rattled. You got to get after him. We talked about they're good on the interior of that offensive line. I don't think they're great at tackle, so you're going to beat him on the edge. And you got to hit him. I like the matchup because I don't think they're great outside. Alshon Jeffrey's a big physical guy.
And they haven't really thrown the ball to him a lot.
He's not a player who's going to create a lot of separation. And so you wonder, you know, Cutler would force it in there, and you can do that with a guy like Alshon because he's so big. Mm-hmm. Hoyer doesn't do that. He's not forcing it in there. I like the matchup out. You know, they got Eddie Royal, who, as long as he's not the Eddie Royal of 2 or 3 years ago when he was in San Diego and he completely torched us. Cameron Meredith is the other guy. And so they have – they're okay. We got Zach Miller, a guy everyone knows from here, as a tight end, H-back.
Didn't do much around here, though.
He's a good player, though. He's good in the pass game. Logan Paulson's their blocking tight end. I like the matchup with our secondary because I think our secondary is playing at a high level. We have big corners, so I'm not worried about Alshon Jeffries. He might make a play or two here, but we got the size. We can be physical with them. And he's got to get after Brian Hoyer. But he's an up-and-down guy. At times, like I just said, he looks really, really good. And at times, you can go back through his history, and where it all averages out, he's about an 80 – I don't know what his career numbers, but in my mind, he's about an 80 quarterback rating guy. And so you hope this is the game that gets him back to reality a little bit.
Go look up that career rating.
He's a 108 right now.
Yeah, he's hot right now.
Jeff has joined us.
Thanks, Jeff Logman, crushing pizza over
eating
there on
pizza
the couch.
And telling
camera.
Us that something I just said about 5 minutes ago, that he was 100 quarterback rating.
Thanks for jumping in, Logs.
Thanks That's for great. The drop-in. You and JP can get together and do the sound and drop-in. There he is eating, folks. You're on TV now, Jeff.
Oh, there he is, off to the side. High definition, eating pizza.
It's gone now.
There's cameras everywhere here now. You can't hide from it at all. We'll get Logman on here in the next segment to lose at picks again. So, I mean, let's see. Career for
Hoyer.
He's 16-13 as a starter all time, by the way. Rating 85.4.
Yeah,
how about you? Look
eight.
At that.
That's what
call.
He is. He's
wow.
So that's who he is. He's playing very high at a high level right now. You know, you ask the question, what do the Bears do when Cutler gets back? Here's my answer to that. I'd rather play Cutler than Hoyer right now.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Well, the guy's hot.
Because Cutler is not going to move. He takes a lot of sacks. He holds the ball, and he's going to throw it to the wrong guy sometimes. Now, he has a arm on him that is talented as all get out. And if he gets hot, watch out. But he's more prone to mistakes.
But they've got some – there's some uneasy feelings about him from front office.
Well, because you're paying him like $20 million a year and you're not getting your money's worth.
Well, that's easy then.
So.
Well, sounds like they figured out who the quarterback's going to be if that's the case.
You never know. There's a lot of politics and a lot of things that go into that, JP. And you've been around long enough to realize it's not always as easy as just – you know, when it's close like that, sometimes the guy who is – viewed as the franchise quarterback gets the nod.
True. Hey, let's go through the injury report. It's actually pretty good news for the Jaguars. Jared Odrick full again today. The triceps injury, that sounds good. Julius Thomas full. Mercedes Lewis full. Corey Grant limited so far in practice with a toe injury. Tashawn Gibson did not practice Wednesday. He's back in the field limited today. That's good news with the knee injury. Ben Koyak has been limited both days. Roy Miller limited with a hand injury. And the following three did not practice today. Rashad Green with an Achilles injury. Dante Fowler Jr. with an illness. And Neil Sterling, the tight end, with a foot injury, did not practice. So it's yesterday they had all tight ends on the field at one time. There were guys banged up. You know, Mercedes was hurt in London, and Neil Sterling was not, you know. They were all on the field yesterday, which was nice. Koyak had the knee thing.
Well, Koyak's coming back off the meniscus. So you wonder, you know, what speed he's at. So that gave me a little bit of concern with Sterling being out today because you'd like to go into this game with three tight ends. They went in with just two in London, and immediately they were down to one, and it limited what they could do a little bit.
But Sterling, to his credit, played a nice
game.
He did.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's why you'd like him help. You'd like him out there. The other did not practice was
Fowler and Green. Rashad Green.
He'll be fine. Rashad Green, if he can't go, get Brian Walters, and everyone has confidence in him.
A few notables for the Bears. Alshon Jeffrey limited so far this week with a hamstring. He'll go. Tracy Porter, the defensive back, limited today. Did not practice Wednesday. Darrell Freeman.
Stop there real quick. Yes. Tracy Porter. Mm-hmm. I think we can get after the secondary.
Think so.
I don't think they're great. I think Bryce Callahan is an aggressive. He's going to sit on routes. He's going to take some chances. I think I'd like to see us go over the top against him. Tracy Porter's a nice player. Their safeties are not very good. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You know, Chris Brzezinski's a guy who's getting time.
He's still around. That's incredible.
Adrian Amos is getting time. You know, Jordan's Cordy, Deion Book. I mean, they're not very good in the secondary. I don't know how else to say it.
So it's time for a nice 300-yard game and a win for Blake Bortles.
Their nickel against the Colts was a rookie and Cravon LeBlanc. Now, Jacoby Glenn, their second-year player out of UCF, is listed as a starter, but against the Colts they started Bryce Callahan and Porter. Hmm. So it's going to be – it'll be interesting, but I think that's a group we should be able to get after. There's some opportunities in the pass game. They're not great rushing the passer. Willie Young is a powerful – has some power. He has a good one-arm bull. He'll try to one-arm you. But outside of that, their other pass rusher, Sam Acho, not great. Doesn't scare you one bit. They're big inside, but they're better against the run than pass. And I think there's some opportunities for Blake and the receivers to have a nice day.
It's time to hang 30 on them. Come on.
Boy, I'd like that.
That'd be nice.
I'd like that.
That might be winning football.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make the Stone Cold walk of that.
That might be coming up next, though.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think what my Stone Cold. I had a couple in my mind. I'm trying to think of the one that I felt best about. So I'll figure that out in the break.
You've got about 3 minutes to figure that out. We'll come back. Jeff Loggeman will jump back on, and we'll pick some games.
National Football League
in Week 6. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express.
New name, same game.
Same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank.
I think it needs to be read. New name, same great game. You like that?
That
rhymes. Little rap.
That's a rhyme.
Or a rap. That's a rap. This show's about to be a rap.
We're back after this. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville Unblanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Oh, man.
What's up? How was Meet Me at the 50 out there?
Nice. Well, they got it going on right now. And great turnout. It's pretty neat because, I mean, they bring a podium up and literally people are sitting on the 50-yard line in the bleachers and you've got Gruden, yeah. They've got players. You know, Gus is going to be there for a little bit. And a pretty cool event. You know, congratulations to the Jaguars Women's Association, which puts that thing on. It's grown every year. It's raised a tremendous amount of money. And getting high-profile people like Susie Colbert and John Gruden to come in, that's a big deal now. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it's not very often you can get two people like that to come in and teach a little bit of football. And Gruden is in Gruden form now.
Yeah. He was on the Gus Bradley
show. He's wide open.
Yeah.
He's a wired individual.
He is totally wired. He's fun to talk to.
And he knows football. He is. If you love football, which I do, and I know you do, Jeff, as well, talking football.
Hey, I do too. Thanks.
Okay, let me say this. If you love football and you have football knowledge.
Wow.
You do, Jeff. And I like to think I do. It's fun to talk to him because he's a smart football guy.
You know, and it's probably more fun to talk with him when he's not on camera.
Oh, way more fun.
Because, you know, he's not known for holding anything back. And he's one of those guys, he's a film room junkie. He has a setup over there in Tampa where it's his headquarters. And he gets all the NFL film and he's watching film basically every day, all day. It's what he does. So of all the broadcasters that are in the business, John Gruden probably knows more when it comes to the X's and O's and about teams than probably any other broadcaster or announcer that there is in business. I'm not saying he's the best because there's some good ones out there. I think Troy Aikman does a great job. But as far as truly knowing the ins and outs of every team, scheme, personnel, all of that, because of film study, John Gruden has got to be at the top of the list.
Well, let's figure out who really has some football knowledge from 2 weeks ago as we look at the picks and the results from week four. And you'll see it on the screen if you're watching on Jaguars.com coming up in the Jaguars app. Guess who is 12-2 in week four? And who has football knowledge? Who doesn't? Oh, yeah. Okay, Tony. Read them and weep up there on the board.
Well, you picked yours out of a hat.
12-2 2 weeks ago. We didn't pick last week because we didn't have a show because of the hurricane. Jeff was 9-5 2 weeks ago. Tony, in your lone appearance so far this year, whopping 7-7 to get you started.
Moving forward, even when I'm on the road doing, because I missed that last segment when I'm on the road doing the games, can I email my picks in before?
Yes. You can do that. Yeah.
Yes. I want to see that because if I remember correctly, my first record.
I was making fun of you. Yeah, I was.
Right.
I was.
By the way, what's the winner get for the season? Like a bottle of whiskey or something?
I don't know what the winner gets, but I do know this. You owe me a steak, and you owe me a steak. So before we make any more bets, I want my steaks.
That is true. I do owe you steak from a half a sack. Come on, Audrick, just make the sack. I lost a steak dinner because the Jared Otter didn't have a half 0.5 more sacks than he did last year.
Yeah, going to the last game, he only needed a half.
He just needed a half.
Tony's going to eat well, it sounds like, coming up.
Well, I'm inviting my good friend Joe to have one of my steaks.
This is allegedly happening next
week. Yeah, we're talking about Monday night after the TV show.
Monday night next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, let's do it. Well, here we go. I better save up for the weekend then.
Yeah, save some dollars.
Yeah. How about we pick some games
around the
National Football League? Starting tonight, the Broncos have won 15 straight road games against AFC West opponents. They're facing the 1-4 Chargers, who have found almost every way to lose. Who you got?
I'm taking the Broncos. They're going to find another way to lose tonight.
I'll do the same thing.
I got the Chargers.
Do you?
Yeah.
You got to get back in the race. That's why I'm trying to skew the results. Colin Kaepernick, now quarterback for the 49ers. They're at the Bills this week.
Bills.
That's a sweep. Rams at the Lions. I got L.A.
I'm taking the Lions.
I am, too.
Okay, I'll gain some ground there. Steelers.
You're taking the Rams, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. I'm glad you are.
Yeah.
Because are you buying that pile of junk that
Let's
Jeff
go.
Fisher's been selling?
3-2. Dwayne Gratz is on the team now. Get ready.
Okay. I got the Lions.
Lions.
Sticking with the Rams, baby.
Nah, I like Dwayne Gratz. He's a good guy.
I know. Less with you. Steelers at the Dolphins. I'm going Pittsburgh all day.
Pittsburgh's Dolphins are a mess.
They are not a good football
First
team
of all,
right
why they hired a guy that came from the Jets and screwed the Jets up is beyond me.
He's talking about Mike Tannenbaum.
Yes. Because when he was with the New York Jets, he did nothing to help that football team. When he left there, he left them a mess. And then
John Idzik had to
John
go
Idzik
there
came
fix
in,
it.
Cleaned up the mess, and they got fired for
got
it.
Fired for fixing it,
right?
And then Stephen Ross hires him in Miami, and makes him the head honcho. And now they're cutting. What they cut 3 players this week. You think that's going to make your football team better? No, that place is a mess.
Tom Brady is 60-5 at home since 2007.
61-5.
Yes.
I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay.
Who are they playing, by the way?
The Bengals. Six teams, by the way, have fewer than 60 wins total in that time since 2007. Jacksonville is one of those.
Just remember that every time that Tom Brady has received what maybe he perceived as a slight by the league or anything else, what has he always done in the past?
Win.
He has come back and he's won in big fashion, shredding opponents. And I expect him to do the same against the Bengals. And the Bengals right now are a little off kilter.
They're not very good, which is the surprise to me. They are one of the most talented teams in the AFC. That defensive front is really good on paper, and they got shredded last week against the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott ran it right down their throats.
But you know what? That may be the good recipe for them. Because what have they been in the last couple of years? They've been good all year, right? They've been good early in the season, and then all of a sudden they make it to the playoffs, and they're not at the top seed, but they're pretty close, right? And what do they do when they get to the playoffs?
Choke it away.
They play terrible.
Yep.
So maybe they're trying a different recipe this year.
What are they, 2-3 right now, the Bengals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to just squeeze into the playoffs this year and then have success in the playoffs, you think?
I mean, how in the heck
I don't.
How they lost that playoff game last year is beyond everybody. A terrible game in New Orleans. They're hosting the Panthers.
Why is that terrible?
They're 1-4, and
is
the
Cam
Saints
Newton
are 1-3.
He is.
That's a good football game. I don't care. I mean, you got Drew Brees and Cam Newton playing a football game, JP. That's not a terrible football game.
I actually agree with Jeff there, yeah.
Okay, good point.
Two good quarterbacks.
Well, who are you going to pick?
I'm going to take the Saints.
Saints? I'm going Panthers. They're going to bounce back with Cam.
Yeah, I'm taking Panthers.
I can't believe I'm picking Cam, by the way.
You know, whoa, wait a minute. It's in New Orleans?
New Orleans.
I'm taking Drew Brees. Yeah. After the way that Carolina secondary played.
They got rookies playing back there. Their pass rush has not got going to help them out. I think Drew Brees have a huge day.
Yep.
Ravens at the Giants.
Ravens fired Jeff's favorite coach, Mark Trestman.
I knew that was coming.
The Giants. I like the Giants.
Yeah,
I
knew it was a matter of time.
Yeah, sure.
When they hired him, I said, I can't believe they hired him.
You and I said the same thing. So I got the Giants.
I do too.
I'm taking the Giants.
Okay, clean sweep there. Browns at the Titans.
Titans.
Uh-oh. Go for it, Jeff. Do it.
Titans.
Do it.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
I can't either. That's a clean sweep. Eagles at the Redskins. Carson Wentz back at it after the bye.
You know what? I'm taking the Eagles.
Me too.
I got the Redskins.
I know. You got your guy in Washington.
I got to pick my roommate.
Yeah. You got your guy in Washington.
Chiefs at the Raiders.
I like the Chiefs. The Raiders are 4-1. They've been better on the road than at home.
It's weird. I'll take the Raiders
and
at home,
they,
by the way.
And they shouldn't – in the way they've won, I mean, San Diego gave that game to them last week. They won a 2-point conversion in New Orleans. Give them credit, they're 4-1, but I don't think they're a quality 4-1 football team. I think they're a nice team and a young team, and they're going to be good in the years coming. But I like Kansas City. I think they come back. Didn't they have a bye this week, if I'm not mistaken? I think they get the win.
My mind tells me pick the Raiders, but that's picking Jack Del Rio. I hope they win so that they come in here. You know, all feeling good about
all
themselves.
Fat and happy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let them come in here. So yeah, I'm gonna take the Raiders just for that reason.
Okay.
Are you and Jack going out to dinner?
We're gonna have steak, glass of wine. we're tight.
The good game in Green Bay. The Cowboys and the Packers. Are the Cowboys for real? We'll find out. I'm taking the Packers.
Well, listen. Are they for real? They're 4-1. Their one loss is a 1-point loss to New York with a guy getting his first start ever, and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott has 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, playing good football. Offensive line is playing at a high level.
This is the best team they've played, though.
It is the best team they've played.
It's the best quarterback they've played.
But if you look at Green Bay's offense, they are struggling to score points. Aaron Rodgers' numbers are so pedestrian right now. If his name was not Aaron Rodgers, we would not be talking about him as a great quarterback. With all that said, I'm going with the Packers.
Come on.
Me too.
Yeah, okay.
Jeffrey?
I think this is where I'm going to get one. I'm going to take the Packers. I was going to do it, but I couldn't do it.
Falcons are hot right now. They're going to Seattle, though.
Seattle.
They're not that hot.
Sunday night football. What a matchup in the AFC South. The Colts at the Texans. Crickets.
That's not an easy one to pick.
I'll take the Texans.
Texans are at home, right? Colts at Texans,
yes.
He said? Okay. I'm taking the Colts.
I'm going Colts too because I don't think Brock Osweiler is very good.
Andrew Luck is.
And that defense is not the same without J.J. Watt.
Here's the thing, you look at the Colts,
which is an obvious statement, but it's easier to block Whitney Merciless when you can game plan him and you're not worried about Watt.
Prior to the Jaguars game, who did the Colts play?
Bears.
No, that was last week. They played San Diego.
San Diego. What did they do?
They won.
Why? Quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? Bomb T.Y. Hill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Late.
Yeah. Andrew Luck gave his team a chance in London, too, now.
He did.
Okay. And then last week against the Bears.
Came back,
won him a game. I'm going to take Andrew Luck
Houston. I don't believe in Houston. I think the Colts get the win. What's the Monday night game?
Yeah, Monday night football.
Music started early.
Jets at the Cardinals Monday night.
Who you got? Jets at the Cardinals. Cardinals.
Yep, clean sweep there.
You know, but they're so unpredictable, though. I would not be surprised if they lose it.
And the Jets are going to be playing with desperation.
Jags get it done in Chicago, fellas?
Yes.
Stone cold lock of the week.
Got it.
I'm not locking it.
No, I'm locking it. Victory formation. By the offense at the end of the game.
I'm calling a kneel
I'm
down.
I'm not locking it, but I'm calling
lock.
Win.
It's a lock. Write it down.
I called a lock. in London. I'm not calling a lock on this one, but I'm saying they're going to win.
It's a lock.
It's a lock. Tony Buscelli, Jeff Flogman, everyone involved. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.